Welcome to Prima's 2023 podcast series. My name is Shonda Ragland. I am the Senior Director of Education and Training at Prima. On this Prima podcast, Drew Groth will discuss commercialized autonomous vehicles, risk and insurance implications. Drew is an associate actuary at Milliman. We will also be joined by Prima's education coordinator, Taekwon Gilbert. Taekwon will moderate the discussion. Enjoy the podcast.
Thank you for joining us today, Drew.
Thanks, Taekwon. Appreciate the invite to be here.
You're very welcome. So to start, what's your background with autonomous vehicles?
So working as an actuary with Milliman, I've been helping develop solutions for autonomous vehicles really since they began to be commercially deployed. My initial focus was on autonomous trucking, since that use case was really taking off at the time. However, that's quickly expanded to other commercial use cases as they've gained momentum, and I'm sure we'll touch on a few of those later. So in this capacity, I've been asked to present on the topic to groups of risk managers, both from Prima and RIMS, as well as for different actuarial organizations and insurance companies. I have also published a few articles on this topic. But really, so far, we're mainly getting questions from risk managers about the cost of these vehicles, what's the impact going to be on insurance programs. And then on the other side of the coin, insurers are really looking for solutions to underwrite and price these risks.
You kind of alluded to this next question. Well, what are the potential use cases of autonomous vehicles in the public sector?
Yeah, absolutely. Right now, there's really kind of a wide variety of use cases in the commercial space. So I'll really try to focus on those that might impact the public entities. First off, we're really looking a lot into the autonomous shuttles that have been in testing and even some deployment in recent years. And the whole goal with the autonomous shuttles is really to provide transportation solutions that expand beyond the current offerings, with one of the biggest goals to be effectively developing transportation opportunities for underserved areas that may not have bus routes or train stops that really cover that last mile or two. And so the goal would be to really reduce the amount of travel that needs to be done outside of the public transportation route. Beyond that, we're seeing shuttles applied in heavily trafficked areas, short routes within well-defined ranges. A lot of the partnerships with these companies have been with businesses trying to transport people from parking to employment areas, seen some in retirement communities to provide other options for residents there, especially potentially some cool use cases on college campuses, particularly in urban areas. Beyond that, there's certainly a lot of other use cases for autonomous vehicles. Public sector may see some impacts for delivery vehicles, and that really runs the gamut in terms of small delivery bots that tend to travel on sidewalks. You also have these vehicular delivery pods, let's call them, where they aren't really traditional cars, but they do operate on roadways. And then you do have kind of more traditional trucks, either box trucks or even long-haul semi-trucks. And there are really some strong use cases here, especially when you're looking at repetitive routes. However, the technology has advanced a long way, and there has been a lot of testing on longer, less predictable routes. It's worth noting that there are already prominent delivery partners in this space. For instance, the U.S. Postal Service has been operating test cases with one of the autonomous trucking companies. And, you know, beyond that, I think there is the opportunity to improve a lot of municipalities' offerings to their residents. You could have services such as garbage collection, which has actually been tested already using autonomous garbage trucks. The idea here is to shift the focus from the driving task to really the prominent maintenance task, which is the collection of the trash. And there's actually been some test cases where the garbage collector has walked beside the vehicle to be more efficient with the collection in densely populated or low-speed areas like residential neighborhoods. Long-term, you could potentially see this technology helping with things like street cleaning, snow removal. However, there's still some hurdles to clear in terms of improving the driving ability under adverse weather conditions. So that's a little further off.
In what ways do autonomous vehicles reduce risk or increase risk for the public sector?
So first off, I think that everyone would kind of notice that there's obviously an impact on driving behavior. You know, we're shifting from humans to machines effectively. So the jury is still out on the exact quantification of how that risk is going to change, but there does seem to be an expectation and early indications that the frequency in insurance losses could be reduced, particularly in certain scenarios. And so that kind of transitions into the thought that the operating environment is really key here. Perhaps one notable example of this is the issues that surround pedestrian fatalities and injuries, particularly in highly urban areas. So the data suggests when most of these incidents are occurring, it is in highly populated areas as well as at non-intersections. So when you look at the AV driving task, they're actually well equipped to follow traffic laws and drive at reasonable speeds in these areas. However, you could also see a weak spot being that AVs are still working out how to best predict unpredictable human behavior, such as someone suddenly stepping into traffic from behind an obstacle or a parked car, especially in unmarked spots. Beyond that, you look at the data for the pedestrian fatalities and roughly 1 in 5 incidents, unfortunately, the driver was intoxicated at the wheel. Well, here's a pretty easy use case where we could see that that sort of risk could be eliminated. And perhaps AV could also provide some additional ride options for intoxicated individuals. Beyond sort of the direct driving behavior, I certainly think that there's a lot of trickle-down or indirect impacts on risk. So while sticking sort of with the driving task, you could see that more public transportation options is really a goal of a lot of cities because it reduces vehicle congestion, which from an auto standpoint certainly has the ability to impact the accident frequency as well as severity in some instances. And if we're looking a little bit more futuristic and looking at things like snow removal, you certainly could see services like that being more timely for residents. The connected vehicle capabilities of AVs also would essentially allow vehicles to communicate with infrastructure and determine, so where does that snow need to be removed more promptly? Are there patches of ice that need to be addressed? All of this is going to help keep residents more safe.
How do autonomous vehicles impact commercial insurance coverage?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that there's still a lot of questions to be answered in this space. But when you look at the way that insurance products are traditionally structured, they tend to fit within nice little neat boxes, sort of defined as lines of business. And there's going to be quite a few lines of business that are impacted by the emergence of AVs, particularly commercial auto coverage, general liability, cyber liability, workers' compensation, and inland marine, just to name the prominent ones. And you end up seeing some coverage scenarios that really change pretty materially when you see a situation where a vehicle is operated by a human versus operated by a machine effectively. And in the early stages, there are certain vehicle types that'll have a need for both. So there'll be sort of a trade-off that occurs during the driving route. In other instances, it's pretty black or white. And when you think about other considerations, particularly related to cyber, this has already been a really hot button topic, particularly in the public sector, since public entities have continued to be primary targets for cyber criminals. To date, you know that cyber attacks often are targeting personal information, possibly disabling important systems via ransomware. And if you think about how this is going to change long term, the ransomware stakes certainly are increased, particularly if you're looking at the services that an AV fleet would provide for the public sector, such as public transportation. And beyond that, there is some limited evidence that suggests perhaps cyber attacks could impact driving ability of these vehicles. But I think that that it's still too early to tell if that's a serious risk. But you certainly could see an increase in cyber bodily injury if that does pan out. Long term, when we're looking at the role of human drivers, particularly those that are working for public entities, you essentially are going to be able to take people who are specialized in doing one thing that have driving as part of their job task, and you're going to be able to partially eliminate or fully eliminate that driving task. This is going to have a pretty considerable impact on work comp exposures and sort of the classes that are used to rate those exposures as well. You also have considerations about the cost of this equipment. the accessories and the vehicles being built from the ground up that contain this technology significantly more expensive. Right now, traditional insurance policies are not fully considering that, particularly when looking at commercial auto physical damage coverages, which is leading to this coverage being unaffordable or unavailable. Workaround for this in the early stages is to bring in an inland marine coverage, which is traditionally used for covering things like cargo and high value items. And this sort of fits that role in the fact that you have this high value technology that's housed on the vehicle, and you can go ahead and you can schedule a coverage amount for that through an inland marine policy. However, ideally, there wouldn't be a need for that separate policy long term as this gets more integrated into insurance products.
Do insurance companies currently offer products that provide coverage for autonomous vehicles?
Yeah, great question. The short answer to that is yes. A handful of traditional insurers, many of which I'm sure the people listening to this podcast work with today, they are willing and interested in underwriting this risk to a degree. Largely, that's being done by taking a traditional insurance product and making some adjustments for the risk via schedule rating. I think that generally that's going to lead to some increases in premium, given that this is sort of an unknown area and the data hasn't quite gotten there to quantify it. So in that regard, it's especially important for risk managers to give evidence of proactive risk management in this space, as that can directly impact those adjustments. Some companies have actually gone out and created products specific to cover autonomous vehicles. The goal of those is to address some of the shortcomings of the traditional policies, a few of which we've touched on. And the idea is that maybe there could be some more reasonable premiums if the insurer is able to incorporate explicit information about the AV systems that allow for different rate differentiation. And that could be collected via telematic systems, possibly working directly with the AV developers to look for different leading indicators. There's been a variety of approaches to this. And at the end of the day, a handful of insurers are dedicating full teams and underwriting resources to niche products like this, and they're looking to handle the unique challenges posed by this. So I would say while there are limited offerings for commercial insurance coverage today, the list of companies willing to write this is steadily expanding.
Can the risks associated with autonomous vehicles be quantified?
I think that this really needs to be thought of in two different stages. You can think of what's happening today and what are we looking to do long term. So starting with today, the actual insurance data for AV losses, it's minimal. Additionally, there have been some movements to try to get more publicly available data on this technology, looking more for more transparency to get more public buy-in on this, and really making sure that this technology is safe. Unfortunately, this publicly available data also does lack some credibility, or it's not directly applicable to your specific situation. You know, as mentioned earlier, there are numerous vehicle types and operation scenarios that employ this technology. So the real idea is that the information today is helpful, but it can't be the only source used. There have been some studies looking ahead at this, and they've been trying to estimate the potential impacts. Those can also be relied upon to a degree. Beyond that, there's people really trying to dig into the leading indicators that can be assessed via things like telematics data, organizational metrics, how the companies producing this technology are managing their internal risk. But that often requires a specific set of expertise to really interpret all this information. So to summarize that, today it's tricky, but there are things to look to that help quantify this risk. Long term, we are looking for more information on how accidents involving autonomous vehicles are going to impact the litigation scenarios. That's perhaps one of the biggest unknowns from an insurance cost standpoint, because depending on which way this trends, this could certainly have significant impacts to the availability of insurance limits, as well as the premiums in the state of a market that's already described by many as being quite a hard market.
As someone who has been immersed in insurance solutions for autonomous vehicles for quite some time, What advice would you give to someone who is just starting to learn about these risks?
Yeah, I think that's really at the core of this, right? We want to figure out what it is that we need to be thinking about today, how we need to be preparing ourselves to handle this risk. And I think that the short of it is that the insurance impact goes well beyond just answering the question of whether or not these vehicles drive better. That's certainly important to figure out, but as just discussed, there's a lot of uncertainty around how AV technology is going to play out in litigation. That's certainly going to impact large settlement amounts. Beyond that, you're looking at a technology that's often integrated with electric vehicles or even connected vehicles. And those two particular categories of vehicles actually come with their own set of risk considerations beyond being autonomous. For instance, electric vehicles are already considered in certain rate plans separately and often cost more. Connected vehicles require an understanding of the supporting connected infrastructure, and that's really going to be dependent on what state you're operating in and what steps the Department of Transportation has taken to implement connected infrastructure. And as just mentioned, these vehicles are going to continue to cost a considerable amount more, and that's often not well considered in a traditional insurance plan, which opens up questions about what's actually affordable in the commercial market and what needs to be self-insured. I think the short of it is that development of technology, even outside of vehicle technology, it tends to move quickly. And I think that it tends to surprise those who don't stay up to date on its progress. So you may not need to address all or even some of these challenges today, but you certainly will be confronted with them sooner than you think.
In a broad sense, what should risk managers consider before implementing autonomous vehicles in their fleets?
I think really the idea is that we need to reflect on all the items we've been discussing so far. There's the issue of insurance availability, how this is going to impact traditional insurance coverages and products. How does this technology differ from standard drivers? And all of these different unique considerations that come along with it. But beyond that, if you're looking for concrete steps to take today, understanding the laws and standards governing AV in your area is essential. Some risk managers are potentially working in areas that are very open to this technology, while others have imposed particular deadlines on when this can essentially be tested and when this is going to be implemented. Additionally, to the extent that you have opportunities to work with an autonomous vehicle developer, request their safety plan. Every one of these companies should have something for you, and try to determine if this is following acceptable safety standards. Again, that might require more specialized sort of expertise that's outside of the insurance realm. But to the extent that they are putting a acceptable safety plan in place, they should be willing to kind of walk you through it and explain the nuances there. And from a decision-making standpoint, try to be involved early in conversations as your municipalities are considering this technology or maybe looking at these partnerships. The risk and insurance implications are a really key part to the implementation here. But unfortunately, a lot of times risk managers are brought in too late in the game and they have to be a little bit reactive to what's already happening. So to the extent that you can, try to be involved early in these conversations and try to stay up to date on this technology and when it might impact you specifically.
We've reached the end of our podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Please visit the Prima website to hear other Prima podcasts, view upcoming Prima webinars, read Prima blogs, and learn about other Prima educational resources. Be sure to check us out on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and our very own Prima Talk. Have an amazing day.